Yeah, absolutely. That's just, I don't, sometimes it's tough to talk about, but it, you know, but the love of money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, tithing and giving back, it's almost like it just allows you not to to get so worried about money.
Hmm.
God's going to take care of us.
Yeah.
But when you give it away, it, I don't know. It helps you not to idolize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I don't. That's, yeah. You know, everybody struggles with idols, but, you know, that we should do more than write a check. Sometimes, you know, just stroking the check, okay, I've done my good deed for the day. There's more to it than that.
Hmm.
As you said earlier, I do believe as a believer that we need to store up treasures in heaven, and that's just doing good works he's called us to do.
So I mentioned, you know, you do the big event and stuff, but you also come here personally. In fact, your wife comes here and she's serving on a committee with me right now. We've not made it public, but I'll say it here. We're doing a capital campaign that she serves on that committee, where we're going to be expanding our women and children's facilities and doing some work on our men's side here too. But it's awesome to see. It's not just you, but your family's involved too. You know, she's very faithful in coming, and it's amazing because the need is great. We built that women's facility only 6-7 years ago, and we're over capacity right now. In fact, I just got a number the other day that in 1 week we had 10 new ladies come in that had never been there before, and we already had 25 mats on the floor that were in excess of our beds that we had. So, and at the same time, we've heard that there's a couple of the shelters here locally that aren't taking any more people and that have actually shut their doors. So we've almost become the only place for the women and children to come. So it's a great need, and I love the, you know, we're building hope with this new campaign and going to expand that building. But I love that you have your family involved. How is that for you as a father to replicate that for your kids? And I know your daughter's going into social work, and some of that's really about helping people, right?
Absolutely.
So how is it as a dad to try to teach that to your children as they're growing up?
Well, it's great to be able to do that. I mean, it's a lot of times I beat myself up because I don't do enough and frankly don't make them do enough, to follow what we're doing. But, I don't know. Sometimes we have to kind of bring it to them and say, hey, when we do tithe and we give to the church and we give to other programs in the community, and not to say, hey, look what we've done, but this is what you need to do, you know, when you're making an income.
Yeah.
Regardless of where it comes from, you need to give back.
Yeah. My daughters have grown up here, walking the halls. So I don't force them to volunteer here because, I want that to be something that's theirs. So when there's church events and things where they can go volunteer other places, sure, I wish they were volunteering here, but, you know, I want them to experience it away from something that they had to grow up in,
right?
You know, because they had to grow up here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're coming down, sleeping on my couch in between basketball games or whatever, and, you know, then I'm going to expect them to volunteer.
Right.
You know, and it's difficult as a father to train your kids to do what your passion is, right? You know, I remember when I was younger, my dad was a pastor, and I always said, I'm not going to be a pastor. Well, really, I am the pastor of the mission, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not ordained or anything, but I'm really the leader of the mission in a pastoral way.
Right.
And it's always interesting what you tell God that you're not going to do. He always pretty much tells you you're going to do it at some point, right? So one of the things that you do here, though, is you help us with our D groups, too. Can you talk about that a little bit and how you help with the Bible study? And
yeah, I would really say that I don't help. I mean, for me, it's been a growing thing for me, because when I come to the D group, it's basically we have a leader, Adam, who leads the group. My ambition was that one day I could lead a group, just to be able to serve in that capacity. But I have been coming to the group, I don't know, 7 months now, something like that. Okay, almost 9 months. And for me to tell somebody I do this, you know, because I have a heart for the mission, I get, you know, it sounds funny to say this, but I get way more out of it. And I have learned so much more just about my faith coming to this group. I don't want to say that I don't contribute anything, but I get everybody else contributes a lot more. I get a lot more than I give. So to say I'm doing something, makes me feel really guilty because coming to this group, we meet at the mall, we meet out in public, we have our Bibles out, and the looks that we get, the fist pumps that we get from other believers, it's encouraging. I mean, just the other week we had somebody come up and say, "Are y'all missionaries?" We said, "No." I mean, I guess in a way we are, but no. Can you pray for me? And so we prayed for him and some things he was stressed about, and just, you know, unapologetic in our faith.
Yeah.
We're going to do this out in public. We're going to acknowledge God in front of men. And we're proud to do it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, just like I said, we have men in that Bible study that are so strong in their faith. It encourages me because they're going through a trial. You know, we talk about this a lot. Sometimes the testing of your faith is more when you're doing good than when you're doing bad. But just to see where they are and what they're up against, they're living their faith. It's not a hobby for these guys.
Yeah.
And so it's just very encouraging.
Yeah. So one of the things I say a lot is that our testimony is much more about our walk than our talk. You know, it's more of the example that we show than preaching at somebody. Yeah. I've seen more people come to Christ because them coming to me and saying, "Hey, what's different? You know, why are you reading your Bible? Why do you pray?" You know, instead of me going, "Hey, you need to pray and read your Bible." Right. And yes, I do agree that there's some street evangelists do great job, but I find a lot more times I have a easier path to talk to somebody because they've approached me. And I love that. So you've been around the mission somewhat. Have you, have you seen, stories of hope here? Is there a story that you can think of that has touched your life in a certain way of somebody that has had a testimony either in D group or, you know, through, Movers for Moms or any of that, that you just, you know, said, "Man, I love that we're working with these guys because I see this testimony come through."
Yeah. So we work closely with K-Tech, which is a subsidiary of Kids to Love. They do vocational training, mechanical, electrical, hydraulic, geared at placing them in a manufacturing job.
Yeah.
So we have probably sponsored, I don't know, 10 to 12 graduates from your program that want to do something more. And one of our most recent successes graduated from the program, and he came from drug addiction, Integer program. And at graduation, his mom and his aunt were there. They were just crying because they just couldn't believe the transformation.
Yeah.
So we entered your program. He was able to go through the year, graduate. He learned all about Jesus and the good news, and he became a Christian, and now he's gainfully employed. And just seeing his family and how proud they were of him and how proud he was of himself, for me, it's just a great marriage for us to participate in. And going to that graduation, it wouldn't happen without y'all. And the employment probably wouldn't happen without K-Tech. So, yeah, I see it. In any contact I have with anybody that is going through the program, I see what you're talking about. There's a transformation going on. and they're learning more about what Jesus did for them on the cross, and they're taking on a humble attitude. And frankly, like I said, they're living out their faith. It's not, you know, sometimes I think my faith is a hobby, and but they're living it out. They're trusting in Jesus for their future.
Yeah. I love that you brought up Lee Marshall and her group, because Kids to Love has been great partners with us. Lee's a friend. In fact, her daughter goes to school with our kids. And but yeah, that partnership of like believers, I think, is an awesome thing that we're able to, you know, use resources from each other to say, hey, let's help these people as much as we can. We helped them. You know, the mission is just a vessel, really, for what God's doing. It's God's movement in their life. But the person, when they're there for a year to 18 months, and then we can get them in a program like K-Tech where, hey, I can find some advancement and maybe get a better job than I thought I was going to get before. Maybe a career they had never even thought of, you know. And I love that partnership that we can have, because I think it really shows a true sense of what God asks us to do. We're supposed to be, you know, it says, do not keep yourselves from assembling together, you know, the fellowship of faith. And listen, Lee Marshall and I don't go to the same church, but I definitely, there's a fellowship of faith there because of the partnership that the mission and her have together with K-Tech especially. And yeah. I love seeing that. I love that you say that the D group has really more impacted your life than maybe the folks that you're there sitting around the table with. That's one of the things I say. I've been at this mission 25 years now, and then I served at two other missions before this, and it's been more a blessing on my life of seeing lives changed and seeing how people can be moved from God, from destruction in their lives and addiction and you know, I say, you know, we take a picture of somebody when they first come in the program and then seeing a picture when they leave. It's amazing to see the transformation. It's not just an internal heart change, but you can see a difference in the way that their eyes twinkle and their face is different. And I've got hope.
Yeah, that's it. It's hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, and, you know, these stories of hope that we talk about are, for us, I think, you know, we just talk about a couple, but there's so many people that come through this program here. And then, like you said, we go through Lee Marshall's group there, that, you know, it's amazing to see what God can do. But it takes people like you that come alongside and own a business. You were, I'm sure, 27, 28 years old, when you're thinking about starting a business, you need to go, hey, I'm going to help that mission down there.
That's true. Yeah.
But what God has done is he's built your business up where you say, hey, I'd like to give back to what God has done in my life.
That's true.
Yeah.
So if we do have a community that gives their resources, donates their resources, obviously we can't all be a mission in the capacity that you're a mission. So what you're doing, like I said earlier, is something that you've got it together. You've got your staff together. You're doing it great. But I may have to do 1,000 moves to be able to contribute my part to what you're doing. So I guess all that to say, you're already doing a great job. I would just encourage other businesses to come and partner. And I know we've got a ton of community involvement with Downtown Rescue Mission. Yeah. Y'all have a lot of bills to pay.
Yeah.
Frankly, you're doing such a great job with the marginalized in the community. And I would just hope our community leaders would understand that in the resource that you provide, because it's not just the people in our community who need help, but there are other people outside of our community, outside of our state. They know the Downtown Rescue Mission and they come here for that hope.
Yeah.
So it's not just folks in Huntsville. It's other people coming in.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's amazing the reach that, you know, we're coming up on our 50th anniversary next year. And it was started really by a couple of guys serving meals out of the back of a car. And the dream they had of just doing that to help people who are like you said, marginalized, or that were down in the depths of despair at the time that they were back in the early 70s. They're handing out sandwiches that has now become a ministry that really reaches not just Huntsville, but really this region. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Just a little bit about you again. I can't go by without saying this. You know, Lord has blessed you in your business, but one of the things that you're blessed with is you like fishing.
I do.
Yeah, so talk about fishing with me a little bit. And I bring that up a little bit because I'm a fisherman too, but I think fishing, if you're a ministry leader and you're not a fisherman, that's, God says, you know, your fishers are men. So we're really living out what God told us to do by being fishermen. Right, go ahead, right. Tell me a little bit about your fishing.
That's just a shameless excuse to hit the water, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
If there's one thing that I really have a passion about, if I'm not working, it's hitting the water and fishing. So whether it's fishing for bass on freshwater or saltwater, unfortunately, it's kind of a disease for me. It's an obsession.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not, at this point, I'm not proud of it, but I'm on the internet looking at gear. We're guys, we like gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if I'm not fishing, I'm probably looking at gear in my spare time.
Yeah.
But it's like hunting. I enjoy hunting very much too, but it's like hunting on the water.
Hmm.
And so when you go out in the Gulf of Mexico, you never know what you're going to find. Hmm. So the last time I was out there, my son, he said, don't stop here at this spot. There's a bunch of public spots out in the Gulf of Mexico and you can see them on your sonar. He said, don't stop here. And I said, you've got to check the ones that don't look good.
Hmm.
Because there's probably a big red snapper down there.
Yeah.
And sure enough, one of our buddies on the boat, he had one on. We thought it was a big amberjack. It was fighting so hard, and it came up, and it was a 37-inch snapper, which is a big red snapper.
Yeah.
And so you never know what you're going to get. And I take it back to when I was a kid. I don't know if you had this experience at a carnival, but they always had this little game where you had the fishing rods and you put the fishing rod over the curtain and you'd feel a little tug and then you'd pull it back over and there's a piece of candy on it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the turning point, but something has happened. You're either a fisherman or you're not.
Yeah.
And if you're a fisherman, it doesn't matter if you're fishing for crappie or red snapper, you're all in.
Yeah.
So yeah, when it comes to fishing, I could talk about it all day long.
Yep.
And I could do it all day long. The last time I went out, I fished in 2.5 days, 30 hours.
Hmm.
And so everybody on the boat was
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. But I came back and I was like, I need a vacation from my vacation.
Yes, right.
That was rough.
Yeah, I've done everything from ice fishing because I lived up north. I love ice fishing and I love ocean fishing. And one of my bucket lists is I'd like to catch a fish in all 48 states, the lower 48. I think I've got about 15 or 20 so far.
Wow.
But that's one of my goals. I like to catch a fish in each one of the states. I took a trip a couple years ago with my dad around the country, and he had a bucket list to at least touch all the states, and we drove a bunch of it. And I had a pole in my car just in case, you know. And I didn't catch a fish. We were in Montana. I didn't catch one there, but, you know, I was up in the mountain fishing at a place where I probably wasn't supposed to be fishing, but you know, it's a passion for me too. But I bring up the fishing part with you because I really, I know the Lord said, go out and be fishers of men. But I think what we do here and the stories of hope that happen, a lot of that happens because we're like fishermen here at the mission. We cast out a bait.
Mm-hmm.
And that bait for us is that we have free housing, we have free food. We have a place for you to stay. And, you know, if you're a fisherman, if you don't have bait or a hook, you can't ever get a fish, right? So for us, that's what it is. We like, hey, come on in, you know. And I say to folks, listen, I love that we do all those things. I love we served 400 something thousand meals last year and our beds were slept in 107,000 times. But really, all that doesn't matter. I love that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take that wrong. But it's really that we're trying to get them in to share something else with them. Just like as fishermen, we can't get a fish in the boat unless you have a hook. Our hook is really that the meals and the services that we provide to really get you in to say, here's how you can really change your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as I say that, as you look back at your life, if you could say, I always ask people if it Joe's age now in your 50s, you could look back and talk to yourself when you're like 16, 17 years old. What would you tell yourself?
Well, I think our kids are going to grow up dramatically different than I grew up.
Mm.
And so I would probably coach myself in the understanding of how important Jesus is.
Mm.
And how small our life is here on earth, and how long eternity is, because that's the great deception. I think we all go through that. I mean, just our entire life is that it's important to have a big house. It's important to have, money in the bank. It's important to have a reputation. Some people, it's important to be powerful. All this goes away. And so there are people that I'll just say that I appreciate, like Jimmy Buffett, for one.
Mm.
Love his music,
mm-hmm.
always have. But and also he had a great boat. But when he passed away, I was just thinking, wow, he had so much.
Mm.
And the more you have, the more you want to cling on to this life.
Mm.
You wish you were immortal.
Hmm.
And, he had it. He seemingly had it all as far as earthly possessions. He had so much. And in an instant, it's all gone. So I don't know his spiritual condition. I don't know if he was a believer or not, but it's like, wow, that it's sobering to see, like, in an instant, all that's gone.
Yeah.
And you're left with an eternity somewhere.
Yeah.
Is it in heaven or is it in hell?
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. So if I was to look back at myself preaching that, like all this stuff you see in front of you, yeah, it looks great.
Hmm.
But I would probably try to coach myself into reality. And the more you touch on that consistently, I'd probably make some different decisions that I made when I was young.
Yeah. But you're here today because of the path that God had you on anyway. So I always say that we can't change where we were, right, or the path that we took. In fact, sometimes we need to go and say, God, thank you for even the troubles. In fact, James talks about that we should glory in the trials and tribulations that we go through, because really that takes us to the point we are now. And God, for us, it's a relationship that continues to grow, that we're trying to become closer to the Lord. We're trying to become more Christ-like in our walk. And I love when people think about, hey, when I was 15, 16 years old, I might have done this. I think that all goes away because God had a path that we're supposed to go on. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that you came out today to talk to us about Stories of Hope. I appreciate the partnership that we have with the mission and Two Men in a Truck. And I'll just say to the people out there, if you need somebody to move you, Joe's got something that he could do for you. I know this isn't an ad for Two Men in a Truck, but we appreciate the partnership and that, if people out there do need somebody to move them, that you guys, I'm sure, would give them a good quote.
Absolutely.
And I am going to take Joe up on that. He said one day he's going to take me out fishing, and so we will do that sometime soon. I really appreciate what you guys do, your partnership with the mission and your wife helping us out with different capital campaigns and stuff. So thank you so much and appreciate you coming on Stories for Hope. This has been an episode of Stories for Hope with Joel, and we appreciate Two Men and a Truck in our partnership.
Thanks, Keith.